This is the story of our family, MJ and Virginia Bowders, and how they grew into the awe-inspiring aggregation of individuals. I almost said characters. And the characters involved do most of the telling, as they pass from the happy, carefree days of childhood to the sober, serious years of maturity, when life is real and earnest, where care furrows a brow and man must labor from dawn to dusk. We will allow them to record for history the momentous matters that must be written down for posterity, and the adventures they will relate to their children in years to come. The little boy Kurt, standing beside his mother and sister in Hollywood, Florida, will grow to such dizzying heights that his mother and David cannot bear to look. And you'll also notice a change in the branch of service he favors. We will watch as they taste of life and find it good, as they listen to the sounds of a world at war and at peace, as they contribute their own harmony and disharmony. One thing we can promise you is variety, because this is one family that's really going places. We have explored the backcountry of Central Florida with its palmettos, moss festooned trees, and its pure, clear, wonderful lakes guarded by pine trees, standing like sentries as we cruise past in our palatial yacht. We have scaled Mount Diablo in California in winter and posed on a balcony in Naples, Italy. We'll take you to the Philippines and Notre Dame in Paris. For with a crew like this, and a captain and ship capable, seaworthy, and ready, we will sail the bounding main for over two decades.
And this will be the guiding star, the one sure constant in a changing world. This is the one whose faith in me strengthened my faith and whose courage and strength we all leaned upon. Much of my ministry has been to groups of men like this, one of my crews, seen topside in Subic Bay. And one of the reasons I could talk to them of the love of God and share my Savior with them was because this one was keeping the faith at home. Incidentally, one of the men on that last ship coined a phrase for these mobiles I make. He called them the chaplain's sin traps.
As the story begins, Kurt and Lee, looking about like this, will narrate, and Mark and David will add a few comments, with some help from Bill, who is shown here on a hotel balcony in Perugia, explaining all about Italian history to Mark, who wants to know what's for dinner.
Like most love stories, this one will begin in a moonlit lake to the sound of the Moonlight Sonata. So listen now as Lee begins to tell the story of our family.
In Florida, around a picnic fire. The Baptist Training Union from Mount Dora and Umatilla were having a party at Lake Joanna, and Daddy says he found himself playing a game where he was holding hands with a Umatilla girl, who was the prettiest thing he had ever seen.
Daddy said, "Let's take a walk," and they did. He claims he told her that night that he would marry her in 7 years, when he had finished college and seminary.
And he did, too. Pensacola, Florida on Christmas Day, 1938.
While I finished my second year of seminary in Philadelphia, Virginia worked as an X-ray technician at the Harry Anna Crippled Children's Home in Umatilla, Florida. Then we spent a wonderful summer in Florida together. My last year of seminary was at Louisville, Kentucky, at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Virginia got a job as a switchboard operator for the Salvation Army and put me through school. Now Lee continues the story.
And their first home after seminary was in Carlisle, Kentucky, where Daddy was pastor of the Baptist Church.
In 1941, May 22nd to be exact, I was voted in to active membership in the family and named Curtis Carlisle.
Because it was Carlisle, Kentucky.
Daddy came into the Navy after the attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941 and went to sea on a heavy cruiser, the USS Astoria. I was born while he was with us on survivor's leave in Cleveland, Tennessee in October of 1942.
And she was named Linda Lee.
Wonder why they didn't decide to call her Cleveland.
After 2 years on another ship, the USS Pinckney, Daddy came home
and took us swimming.
Then we went to Hollywood, Florida, where Dad was chaplain of Officers Indoctrination School there. We had lots of fun picnicking on the beach, and we got to ride in some Navy landing craft, too.
Daddy made lieutenant commander. He got orders to the USS General Brooke, a transport in the Atlantic. He left us in the land where we stayed.
While he had fun driving a Jeep all over New York City, he said he was working.
Sometimes he stayed aboard ship.
He sent us this picture of war ruined buildings in the port of La Havre, France, with a beautiful flower garden, which he said proves at least the people of Europe still had hope.
This shot of the Cathedral of Rouen, taken in the rain from a speeding train, on which Daddy was taking a party of men to Paris.
He fast-talked the army out of a jeep in Paris and took the ship's doctor and the troop commander on a tour of Paris.
But this is the main street of Paris. They park on the sidewalk. The street is to the right.
But the Arc de Triomphe is my favorite.
After about a year, they decommissioned the brook, and Daddy came home. We got orders to Naval Hospital, Pensacola, Florida.
And Lee had a nice red shirt.
Awnings and everything.
And they had fun at the beach.
It is ready to be born. Because Daddy was born in Pensacola, and I wanted to be born too. And we moved to California, where I was 1 year old.
wonder why they didn't call him Pensacola.
We lived in Pacific Beach. It was nice.
The Valley Forge was Daddy's next ship. It was a beautiful carrier based in San Diego, where we lived and waiting for him at the fleet landing when he came in.
It was one of the rare occasions when we got to go aboard. We used to enjoy having dinner in the wardroom.
The Happy Valley was quite a showboat, and this is one of the first jets to operate off a carrier.
Aboard the Valley Forge, in the hangar deck. Daddy's pulpit is on the number one elevator.
Daddy had a beautiful stateroom with a porthole that looked out of the side of the bow like this. You have to turn your head to see how it really looks. The ship was doing about 25 knots.
The man back then to the propeller of an 81 airplane, and they had to fly him ashore to a hospital after the ship's doctors had done all they could.
They were demonstrating a Sikorsky helicopter for visitors, and Daddy made a hop in it to take his camera with him.
The ship went into dry dock in Hunters Point Naval Shipyard. We moved up there too. As the ship went under the Golden Gate, Daddy took off in a helicopter and landed at the housing office at Hunters Point.
He arranged for all the families to move into Quonset Hut, like these right in the shipyard.
They had a nice view of the bay, and we could look down and see the ships.
We could hear the PA systems on the Valley Forge. This is your old friend, Lonesome George.
Here it's Kurt on Mount Diablo, outside Oakland, California.
It was really cold up there, and I made Mother hold me tight. To play in. trailer to take trips in and play in.
Once we went to see Mount Palomar and enjoyed the rugged mountain country so close to San Diego.
I wanted to peek through this telescope, but Mama didn't have a nickel.
Mother was able to visit us. She flew out with Mrs. Holcomb, and we showed them the sights, including Tijuana, Mexico.
All this time, I was getting ready to be born.
MJ got ordered to the CB Center at Port Hueneme. Just a week after arriving, Mark John was born.
Here, Mother and Mark are leaving for Hollywood to get another member of our family, our Ford station wagon.
Peacefully here in a Quonset hut with a nice playground, school, and chapel, that it was hard to realize.
House in Oxnard, thinking we would be here sometime. Might stay when Daddy went to sea next time. School was just across the street.
We had fun going on picnics and hikes like this.
This was fun for me.
Mother Hargis became seriously ill, and we traveled across country to see her.
I was waiting patiently while she went in to see a doctor. We went to see Grandmother Batters, Mount Dora Flower.
Thanksgiving, we all had dinner at Aunt Betty's. This is part of the crowd. There were lots more.
Here we are going swimming.
To land to be near Grandmother Hardy. And after she died, Daddy was assigned to NAS Sanford, Florida, just 20 miles away. This is Mark about this time. He looks like he might be remembering his grandmother. He sure loved her. We all did.
Close to lots of good swimming places. And use the rubber raft a lot.
I could run it myself, and I did too.
We got a 14-foot boat and a Mercury motor and used it on the St. John's River and the lakes around there.
The picnic on the St. John's near DeLand.
We went to Daytona Lodge, sometimes before sunrise, and we'd eat breakfast on the beach.
I was planning the salmon, and it looked like sugar to me, but it didn't taste so good.
At high tide, we played handball on the beach, and sometimes we fell down. mother stops the traffic, and I was the lifeguard again. The sun and sand and surf.
Because our life in Naples was so disorganized, these next slides will be disorganized also. We learn Naples from the beautiful waterfront familiar to all tourists, to the side streets. In fact, we lived on a side street for the first year in Bella Vista, which was on the slopes of Mount Vesuvius outside of Naples. This is Bill kneeling in the cobblestone street just in front of our house. Our bedroom window looked out on Mount Vesuvius like this. No screens. And this is our backyard. It was a sanctuary from the heat and crowds of people. Bill and Mark are all dressed up to go to church. And here little Mark examines the gardening efforts of the Italian who rented part of the land in our backyard to raise beans and peppers and various other things. And this is Bill and Mark waiting for a train to pass by, I believe. I'm not sure what they're doing. All Americas. And of course our car gets in almost all the pictures here, looking at the snow-capped top of Mount Vesuvius from the autostrada. And Mark picks some apricots in our backyard. This is a dopo lavoro, which means after work. I think it's a bar. Every other building is, just like America, maybe even more so. Evening picture of Vesuvio from the autostrada. This is the view from the second home in which we lived, on the other side of the Posillipo from Naples, overlooking the town of Bagnole. The view looked out over the straits through which the Apostle Paul passed when he landed at the town of Puteoli. The Italians call the town Pozzuoli. It's a very dirty little rundown town, but it is still there and is one of the few historical spots that can be depended on. St. Paul did land there because it says he did in the last chapter of the book of Acts. The Signora up on top of Monte Faito. I think we were gathering chestnuts that day. This, I believe, is Sorrento from the top of the beautiful cliff. Here is Sorrento, the main street, with a couple of little American ragazzi sticking their heads out. La Signora, overlooking Naples. And this is the Signora peeling an orange or an apple or something on one of our many picnic trips. I think, again, we're waiting for a train to pass. Terracina on the way to Rome. This was on the trip that we took to Florence in northern Italy. This is the same trip. We're having breakfast up in Umbria, I believe.
And old Greek ruins, too.
And here we are on the highway. The sign says Napoli in one direction. I'm not sure where the other direction is. I think this was a trip we made to Caserta. This is a beautiful shot on the Arno River outside of Florence. Just as pretty as a picture, isn't it? Taken from inside the car, you can see the wing window in the left of the picture there. Some of my best shots were taken just as carelessly. The sign of a real photographer. This is a Greek Orthodox or Russian Orthodox church in Florence. And here, looking at St. Peter's across the fields outside of Rome, the sheep in the pasture back there, I suppose, are some of the faithful sheep.
And we went to Assisi, high on another hill.
The town that we loved.
And went to Perugia.
Dead-end street outside of Sorrento, at the point of the Amalfi Drive. Another picnic stop somewhere in Italy. The great cathedral, Il Duomo in Florence.
From Belle Napoli to the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, but we made the jump as painlessly as possible by traveling on the SS Independence, picking up a car in New York.
Here are Curtin Lee, high up on Pinnacle Rock. The Shenandoah National Park was so cool and quiet and restful. We ate in the dining room here just once. Americans charge us American prices just like the Neapolitan.
We found our own house waiting for us in Clarksville. Seven Castle Heights. High on a hill with lots of leaves to raise. Yes, and Lee had a lot of steps to sweep. This is where we went to Sunday school. This is our Christmas tree. Get a pony for Christmas. But we did get to ride some. When Clarksville got too hot, we went to the Smoky Mountains. And we climbed Mount Mitchell.
Most for David. This is where we got him. Actually, he was born in Kentucky. Fort Campbell Hospital was across the line.
But he hurried back to Tennessee. And stayed with us.
In the summer of 1955, we went to Ridgecrest again. And stayed in the Florida apartments there. Went on to Florida and spent a wonderful week in this house at Daytona Beach.
And swam in Lake Gertrude again.
We went to Alexander Springs, too.
Ate in a boat.
Clarksville Base wouldn't pose for any pictures. But we got some good ones of the Armed Forces Day parade when the 11th Airborne Division paraded by. Followed by the Marine Drum and Bugle Corps, who really looked good. And a platoon of Marines. Platoon of sailors who were all in step. As the Marine Drum and Bugle Corps passed the reviewing stand where Governor Clement was sitting with the skipper of the station, I had dared them to play Davy Crockett, which they did. That's why everyone is looking in their direction still. That afternoon, our Marines won the drill competition at Fort Campbell over a dozen paratrooper outfits.
Christmas of 1955, Daddy made an angel mobile, or a Christmas mobile, with the figures of Mary and Jesus carved out of balsa wood in the center of the base. The wise men are coming from the right, and the shepherds have left their sheep and approached from the left. Above this base, there was a Christmas tree-shaped top that swirled around in the breeze. The angels dangling all over it moved, too. Two red angels stood guard over the manger. It was very pretty. Daddy is a better mobile maker than photographer, though, so he didn't have a very good picture of it.
Birthday at kindergarten, and all the children got refreshments and favors. It looks like I got mine.
Spring flowers and blossoms were beginning to come out, so we went to see the Earharts, who lived out in the country.
And so David announces that he is now a contributing member of the family and wants to have his part in the story, too.
I played ball. I inspected the cattle, and they inspected me.
We went for a walk in the woods and then found lots of flowers. Mr. and Mrs. Earhart posed by a redbud tree, bothered me.
And I, having worked up an appetite, fixed some hamburgers for the crowd.
Realizing that it would be our last chance for a while, we went to Daytona Beach again, and David sunbathed early in the morning on our front porch roof.
Looking south from where David is, you can see why he is excited. Birds, birds was one of his first words. Mark and I don't notice the birds. We're hunting big game.
While Lee makes friends and goes visiting as usual.
And the family explore an Indian shell mound, but all we found was shells.
We used to get up before sunrise and drive down the beach to the old lighthouse and gather shells that had washed in during the night. David enjoyed this too.
But he looks at his hands in dismay, because they're all full of sand. That stuff is wet.
Back to Clarksville, and we plan to leave our comfortable old home because I have orders to Fibron 3, and our home port is San Diego. We camped part of the time along the way out west, since we had both station wagons full of gear and also kids. Virginia doesn't look like she's been driving all night, but she had. Now we're having breakfast.
You can see what I mean about two cars full of gear. Here beside Lake Dallas, Texas, we spent a pleasant afternoon. The easy chairs, high chair, playpen, water fountain, butane stove, five kids, two cars, complete with beds, made quite a caravan for us two gypsies to skipper.
Daddy lies in bed and takes a picture of a couple of campers.
There's another stop high in New Mexico. With a view like this and the best apples you ever ate.
At this lovely roadside park, we spent a cold night between two deserts and heard coyotes and watched the full moon over the plains below.
Near Roswell, New Mexico, we were entranced by bottomless lakes in the middle of the desert.
Salt Creek Canyon was rugged and interesting to see, but the old Ford didn't like the heat.
Look at that.
Finally, we reached San Diego, glad to be out of the heat. This is our house at 4985 Dafter Drive, a few weeks after we arrived. One Saturday, Daddy and the small fry visited the museum. David and I strolled. I'm talking as usual. Another time, we all visited the zoo. Let the animals see us.
We saw birds in fancy dress and swills swimming in fur coats.
See the monkey?
This character spit all over anybody he could reach. He spits through his teeth just like Saturday afternoon in Clarksville, Tennessee.
The bears were better behaved and danced for us when we stopped on the bus ride.
Still in the Navy, and his squadron went out on an operation early one morning in October of 56. He stayed out a week and played war with a whole fleet of ships. Here is the first helicopter carrier, Thetis Bay, and some of Daddy's ships are in the background.
Shelled Sand Committee Island and planes bombed it.
Going up to Oceanside, we landed Marines on the beach.
This is the Pickleway,
taken from Daddy's flagship, the Bayfield. They're all Daddy's ships. As the Marines were leaving the Bayfield, this one fell in. But they rescued him, and he hit the beach.
Wet.
Chaplain Giza looks up for a last goodbye.
And the Bayfield rounds Point Loma on the way home. This is Coronado, from the entrance to the channel.
We took a day off and went to Mexico and picnicked high on a hill overlooking Ensenada, about 60 miles down the Baja California coast.
That spot overlooks the ocean like this.
And the city like this.
We frenade con motor down to the town.
And went window shopping.
In February of 1957, Daddy went on a trip to Westpac.
What's Westpac, Bill?
Westpac means Western Pacific.
That means Japan, David. Thanks, Mark.
It means Korea, too.
And Hong Kong sightseeing tours.
And Hawaii.
Yes, Daddy talks so much about bonsai trees and cherry blossoms and strange ports and people that our heads began to swim.
Daddy left San Diego on USS Tulare, one of his ships. A very fine, fast, new AKA.
He helped make shellbacks out of polywogs.
The blonde in the foreground is King Neptune holding court.
After a very interesting stay of 5 days in Sydney, Australia, they went to Guam.
He went all the way around the island.
And saw old Spanish forts.
And went swimming.
And Daddy sent us some seeds from this papaya.
When they got to Japan, he moved aboard the USS George Climber.
And they went to the Philippines.
And Korea.
They spent a lot of time in Japan, operating in and out of many ports.
From Yokosuka Bay, they saw Fuji-san once in a while.
And Daddy got to visit a Baptist school in Moji.
And Baptist headquarters in Tokyo.
And landed on lots of beaches.
What are they?
And visited temples.
And finally, then 8 months were up, and they started home.
Daddy says this is the best coastline of all.
Hey, wait, what's all this? Here we are on the pier, when Daddy's ship came home.
Our house looks some different from when he left.
Our patio had been added for one thing.
But the welcome looks the same.
Daddy made a little pool and rock garden to go with the stone lantern he brought home.
And took a trip to the desert.
And discovered Tamarisk Grove near Borrego.
It was a nice place.
We visited our San Diego Zoo, too.
And enjoyed the museum in Balboa Park.
On the beach.
Emerald Hills Church moved into this golf course clubhouse. It had a beautiful view of the bay and ocean.
since we had never been to Disneyland, we decided to go. We soon discovered it was just like one ride after another.
Or like this, in Eraser.
Or Mark Twain's River Steamboat. Or a ship, perchance.
Alien for a rocket?
We even considered riding Monster the Whale. But I was scared.
The best ride was this ski lift.
We did take time to visit the House of Tomorrow.
And eat some ice cream.
We liked not very far better than Disneyland, but ran into the same transportation rat race. Trains to covered wagons.
We ate a picnic lunch.
Hers.
Here.
We enjoyed renewing acquaintances with Cuyamaca Park again.
And the little mountain stream was still there.
Otay Reservoir outside of San Diego was object of an excursion too.
And some of the men posed on the dam.
One day, Daddy had his bonsai trees posed for pictures.
This little azalea was soon to die.
It sure was pretty. Why, it lasted.
Here is a big pine before the amputation. You can see the dead branch.
Daddy couldn't stay long. He had to go to Hawaii on an amphibious operation, he said.
But we think it was to judge a beauty contest.
And he brought back pictures to prove it.
And fell in love with a Tahitian dancer in the foreground.
This is the Kaiser Village in Honolulu.
When this little boy started up the tree, Daddy said, "You're gonna fall."
He turned around and said, "What did you say?"
So Dad went back to watching the dancers.
They were really something to watch.
They go this way.
And that way.
And this is Daddy's sweetheart's older sister.
Just to prove he did other things, Dad brought back these petunias, pictures.
He visited a bonsai nursery.
This is a bonsai. I biscuit.
And he took in a fireworks show.
And took some sailors to church.
He preached in the Nu'u'anu Avenue Baptist Church.
And they visited the banyan tree at Moana Hotel.
And photographed Diamond Head.
And the Polly.
And some of the hotels.
Okay. And some Canadian ships that were really streamlined.
At a change of command ceremony on the climber, he shot the old skipper.
And he shot him back.
As you can see, we didn't suffer from the mutilation or lack of comfort on our flagship, the USS George Climber. Okay. Oops, the world is malnutrition.
I skip it, Bill.
While Daddy was in Hawaii, Ryoko came to live with us.
She didn't really wear kimonos all the time, but she was made in Japan.
We enjoyed our patio
and our backyard.
And the Sparks, Bob and June, came to see us.
We enjoyed going with Daddy on Sundays to have church and on his ship.
Get your feet out of the way.
This is the Beagle, the smallest of Daddy's ships. It's an APD.
Here we are waiting at the boat landing at the naval station.
We wait again, this time on the quarter deck of the climber.
Mother's brother, David Hargis, came to see us, and we went sightseeing. This is that Shelter Island with San Diego in the distance across the bay.
Maybe. Among Daddy's sailors who came to see us,
real good ball players, but they like girls better.
One day we went on a fishing trip with Commander Walter Ashe, the execution chief officer of the Tulare, one of Daddy's ships. Yeah, executive officer.
We went in a mite boat that had been fixed up for fishing.
We waved at a Japanese ship. When they saw Ryoko, they waved back.
We also with a Julian and got some apples at an orchard. Yum.
We went to Kuamaka and climbed trees.
When Daddy got orders to catch pimpas, we dashed up to Oceanside, 35 miles north of San Diego. And we tried to build a house, but this place waited for us.
It had waited for 20 years. A lady doctor, Dr. Alice Kelly, kept it for us. When we looked out of this front room window and saw San Diego and Point Loma and the ocean, we knew it was ours. Even though there wasn't much a yard in front,
and the ocean was there.
And the backyard was like being out in the country.
We had beach parties every Friday during the summer of 1959.
Okay. We went to the Cap Pendleton Rodeo.
We got a ride on a marine mule on Armed Forces Day.
The helicopter wouldn't take us.
One of the places we enjoyed visiting was this nursery in Leucadia.
We explored beaches with our dog, Hintaro. And Lee and Ryoko played mermaid on the rock.
Here Lee is showing Maria why oceanside beaches are good for surfing. Notice the rolling waves.
My mommy and daddy, we went to take a trip to San Francisco. On February 1969. 59. I think San Francisco is a beautiful city. We went to the Japanese gardens.
One rainy morning, they went out across the Golden Gate to Marin County, where our Southern Baptist Seminary was being built. Dr. Graves, the president, took us to see it. And a year later, it looked like this. And this. And this. And a view out of this world.
And you could see San Francisco across the bay. One day, Master Sergeant Hughes invited Daddy to take a ride on an LVT. The tall one is Sergeant Hughes. They told Daddy after he agreed that he would have to swim back. It was survival training. Here they hit the water on the way out. They made it back, wet.
A picnic at Mission Beach was less wet and more fun. Mr. Neihard of the Christian bookstore invited us as his guests. The mast of the sailboat we rented is sticking up from Ryoko's head.
On the 4th of July, we decorated our house like this.
On Mother's Day, MJ's bonsai rose decorated itself like this. It had a red rose and a white rose on the same little plant, and then died from the shock.
We enjoy Caramar. And beach parties at our favorite spot at the foot of a steep cliff by the ocean.
Camp Pendleton is big, as this view from one of the mountains shows. This is on the way up to K Springs. They ran into a war that day high up in the clouds.
This is the way we looked in the summer of 1960.
This is us in our new, brand new surfers and our matching signal flag shirts.
Daddy finished the patio at his chapel last spring, and this is the adult Sunday school class meeting there the first Sunday after it was completed. We had 7 quonsets and 2 other buildings, all full of Sunday school.
Lee entered the Miss Oceanside contest of 1960.
Not because she thought she was pretty, but just to prove she could, I guess.
She was also the star in the senior class play.
Yeah, she was a dizzy dame. It's a flapper. She was a flapper.
Yeah. Mark and Bill started playing in a band. Daddy had to learn how to play all over again so he could play too.
In the summer of 60, MJ and David and I went to the Grand Canyon on our way to Glorieta.
Mother said she enjoyed the view but worried about us.
I didn't worry about nothing at the Grand Canyon except falling down in it. It was fun eating right on the edge of the Grand Canyon. Your restaurant.
Glorieta was a surprise. It was so beautiful. The gardens were really special. They even had a missionary map and flowers. And we met Joe Jones and his wife, who used to be Vivian Thompson of Mount Dora. Joe was MJ's roommate in college. We also visited Bandelier National Monument near Santa Fe.
It was an old Indian ruin with cliff dwellings. Indians used to live here.
And the ruins of pueblos in the valley.
The mother left us to fly to Tennessee.
And David and I drove back to California by way of Oak Creek Canyon.
It was pretty in the Grand Canyon. And I didn't worry about falling in. Because you can lie down in the car.
Aunt Betty and Uncle J.G. met us at Disneyland. And we shouldn't have, and we showed them around. And rode up the Matterhorn.
I think I like the Brills at Knott's Berry Farm better. They're friendly.
We visited the new May Company in Mission Valley Shopping Center. That thing in the background is a standing mobile. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the best kind.
I rode the turtle from the Galloping Island at the San Diego Zoo.
We spent a wonderful day at this place. It's the McManus place in Duluth near Oceanside.
Right.
They
had a pool there.
And also a tool. John is hiding behind Kay, who is hiding twins, Mimi and Ricky.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Lee smiles at Danny Huckleby.
It's Christmas of 1960.
And we're all together.
Denny doesn't live at our house. He was just here. So were the Bartholomews.
Dad had lots of stuff out at the chapel, Sunday school parties and stuff like that. We went back to Knott's Berry Farm, too.
And Virginia bought a funny hat.
And I liked it when Aunt Myrtle lived at Dan's house.
We could go swimming in his pool.
Yep. We explored Palomar Mountain. That was fun.
And Miss Spencer and Mother look pretty. Yes, and Kurt looked pretty, too. Like this. Wow.
Lee had gone to Florida, so we all decided to go rescue her. The Harringtons, Jim and Mary, came to see us off. The newest member of our family, Heidi, stands proudly awaiting the word go. Heidi was just made for traveling and sightseeing, and we started her outright. Here we are at the Grand Canyon. Dad was so interested in Heidi, he couldn't photograph anything else.
We thought he would never take a picture of us or the Grand Canyon.
Finally, he solved that problem by taking a picture of Mother in the canyon from the inside of the VW. Having noticed we were along, he shot us here as we looked down at the canyon. Again. And again.
And again?
Yeah. And the camping facilities at Grand Canyon were among the best anywhere.
We had a nice place. And we spent a couple or two, three nice nights there. Leaving the Grand Canyon, we found Heidi was really at home in the desert. She loved it, and we loved her.
This is the Indian Trading... Wait.
It was like something out of a Western movie, I think. But not all is old and antique. Look at this community building and City Hall.
Ellen Myrtle A. had recommended Canyon de Chelly, so we headed for there next. Near it, we found these red sand dunes.
Bill and Mark are wondering if it's camel time.
Canyon de Chelly was one of the prettiest things yet. Indians still live there. I tried to push this rock down on them.
While Bill tied his moccasins and Heidi hid.
Our squaw kept watch while they explored. See us down on the trail?
At Hubble's trading post, we felt like we had stepped back 100 years.
Indians were trading in the store. And Mrs. Hubble showed us around.
She showed us her home in the back. It was full of antiques and Indian artifacts.
We enjoyed New Mexico.
After Glorieta, we went straight through to Mount Dora, Florida, where we enjoyed swimming again.
Becky and Lee and Janice and Judy are just too beautiful for Chris to look at.
So he takes to the skis and escapes the she's.
Lee takes off on a submarine ride. This is doing it the hard way.
Finally, we arrive at Howard's at Coco Lobo on Elliott Key. We spent a week here.
And had too much fun to take pictures. It's a wonderful place. Me and all enjoyed staying in the old clubhouse. It was our last time with Grandmother Bowders. In December 61, Daddy went to his last sea duty, USS Marcab, home ported in San Francisco. Actually, it stayed tied up the Alameda alongside the carriers. Daddy preached the Easter sunrise service at the USS Midway. The Marcab repaired all kinds of ships, like this tanker and refrigerator ship.
And San Francisco was beautiful across the bay. In the evening, or later, or at night, even Oakland is pretty from up on the hills. And Lake Merritt.
And of course, the Bay Bridge. And naturally, the most glamorous of all, the Golden Gate.
Here from the signal tower on Yerba Buena, you can see the gate and Alcatraz. But that tower is now an officer's club, and Daddy sits for a silhouette snapshot with Dr. Matson, a dentist on the Marcab. Since the ship was at the Naval Air Station, Alameda, Dad could fly home often. Here he is in a TF over San Joaquin Valley. And then he banks over Oakland and passes right over the Mark cab and some of her customer ships to land.
Although it seemed the Mark cab had grown to Pier 2, she did get underway and spent 8 months in Westpac, Hawaii, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Japan, and the Philippines.
In Hawaii, Dad ran sightseeing trips and saw the sights. The men enjoyed all of the sights.
Daddy enjoyed things like the Honolulu Philharmonic and the ballet and the opera. Underway, they practiced shooting at tin cans and stuff like that there. And Daddy conducted classes for the men because he was education officer and had church because he was a chaplain.
We finally got to Keelung, Taiwan, where we delivered the Chinese art treasures to the nationalist Chinese. These paintings were part of an exhibition from China that had toured the United States. They're priceless works of art. I got to see them at the De Young Museum in San Francisco before we sailed. This fan-shaped painting dates from about 1200 AD. Many of the paintings had colophons around the edge, signatures of owners or poems written about the paintings and so on. This one is called On a Mountain Path in Spring, painted during the Sung Dynasty. This is a section of a hand scroll about 30 feet long, done in 1200 AD. This bird was painted in 1110. Another long hand scroll is called Early Snow on the River. It was done about 970. You have to really see this silk painting of deer to appreciate it. It was painted before 900 AD and is very beautiful. Two horses and a groom is attributed to Han Khan, a painter who lived in 700 AD. A noble scholar under a willow tree. There were vases and dishes and carvings too. These are enameled ware cups of the Ming Dynasty. And a bowl of the Qing Dynasty. A carved lacquer dish of the Ming Dynasty. And a Sung flower dish. Qing Dynasty wine cups and a Ming wine cup. This is a Ming bowl also, and a Qing vase. This is a valuable and I guess beautiful example of classic Chinese calligraphy.
After Taiwan, we went to Subic Bay, Philippines. They spent almost 6 months here, working on ships and trying to keep cool. Sometimes the rains help. That's the Valley Forge, one of Daddy's old ships.
Subic Bay is a busy naval station. And the Markab kept busy working on the 7th Fleet afloat. And well oiled. We really oiled this destroyer.
The line broke. That's the officer of the deck standing in the background, shocked, forlorn, and very black.
The Marquette soda fountain made soft ice cream, and in that heat was a popular place. The Marquette foundry was one of the reasons that the ice cream felt so good. The ship's lobby was another hot place. Dad says it was like living in a hot stove, but the men managed to smile anyway, probably thinking about something like this, a Filipina girl standing by a waterfall. Dad's ship stopped at a poor Filipino family, way out of the back country. Here they take them a load of provisions. And Dad visited a Methodist church, kindergarten, in Alamapo. Once he flew with a friend up to Corregidor.
The Bataan Peninsula is lovely from the air.
And every little bay beckons to be explored. That's Corregidor below. They find just the Philippines and pay their respects to Mount Fuji. Dad rode into Tokyo on the train and visited the Meiji Shrine. Quite a change of scenery and climate from Luzon. In beautiful weather, they sail to San Francisco. And was she ever glad to see us?
And they were glad to pass under those wonderful bridges and take up their old place at Naval Air Station Alameda to watch the skyline of the city across the bay, take on that romantic glow that only San Francisco has. With the evening fog rolling in, until it sparkles like so many jewels over the water. Leaving Kurt admiring the evening view, we travel across the bay. This could be a Greek theater in Sicily or Greece, but it happens to be on Mount Tamalpais of San Francisco Bay. How do you pronounce that? Oh, well, I wasn't sure. All of a sudden, there's a big... And this is looking south along the Pacific Ocean from another spot on Mount Tamalpais. This was one of those rare days when one could see across Strawberry Point in Marin County all the way to Yerba Buena Island in San Francisco. Alcatraz is in the center. And we photographed San Francisco from the wrong side. Even this way, it's attractive. This was in the spring of 63, but spring or no spring, it was cold and windy in the Golden Gate. Of course, he made a return trip to Sausalito. Bill, David, and Mark enjoyed the old ferry boat turned into a store. And visited Seal Rock and the Giant Telescope. And Daddy took a picture of Mother driving down the world's crookedest street. There's no speed limit here. We boys went for a speedboat ride in Golden Gate Park. Some speed. Union Square was lovely at this time of year. We fed the pigeons and admired the foliage.
Mark noticed that all the foliage wasn't on the plants.
In May of 1963, the Marcab came to San Diego. They were to stay a week for underway refresher training. Before anchoring, they expected the ships in port and the sonar base and Shelter Island, which seemed like a good place to spend a few days. So they did, right close to Bali High. She looks rather nice from the distance. In the summer of 1963, the lure of the coastal highway draws our family. Mark surveys the scene and gives the go-ahead.
Then after a lunch at Santa Barbara on a gorgeous day, David climbs a dune and says, "Let's go this way." Oh. And we do, along the beautiful cliff. Each seems more beautiful than the last. At Cambria Pines, we stopped at a small campsite on the ocean. We were the only people there, and when the night wind started blowing, we huddled in our little tent and knew why. But the beauty of the sunrise made it worthwhile, and we were able to arrive at Hearst Castle early. And we were first in line for tickets. The ride up to the castle is made on a bus, and this is the first glimpse we had of the splendors ahead. San Simeon was on Hearst's home, his country home, and you've probably read all about it, so I won't bore you with details, and I think I messed up that one. But wouldn't this make a beautiful entrance for a church? And there are several pretty fair baptismal pools too, but I guess they weren't used for that. The guide tells us about some of the Egyptian statuary. And one of the sarcophagi, you did that. It's not my fault. This is one of those things too, I guess. And this is some fellow taking a sun bath, beetle haircut and all. The little guest houses were much more livable than the castle, but most people would be willing to try to live anywhere up here. I did say little guest house, didn't I? Nothing is really little at Hearst Castle. Silence, tiger. That's our dumb poodle barking. The swimming pools indoors and out are tremendous. That's real gold leaf shining from all that tile. The pool seems to go on and on and on. The last on was my own. And is probable the nearest thing to a Roman bath in this country. Probably, instead of probable back there. Okay. Conclude. Following that outstanding performance by Bill, who is home on Christmas vacation from George Fox College, we'll continue with the trip. Pfeiffer, Big Sur, was more to our liking, at least for our purposes. And Tiger's contribution also is appreciated. The Mark cab was in dry dock when we arrived in San Francisco. The shipyard was in Richmond on the north side of San Francisco Bay, and the place was a mess. It wasn't a Navy shipyard, I hasten to add. This is the crane that lifted me up so I could take the last picture.
We persuaded Lee to leave her apartment she shared with Michelle and numerous pets, and she went on with us to Patrick Point. Patrick Point is north of Eureka and one of our favorite spots. Campsites are lovely and so clean and private, and we were very happy here. It is one of California's best state parks. We had checked out this tent from Special Services at Naval Air Station Alameda. It was very comfortable. Agate Beach, with acres of driftwood and piles of brightly covered pebbles, made us feel like King Croesus and his treasure. Here I look over some of the treasures we had selected to take back home with us. Mendocino was our pick of nice places to live in that part of California on this trip. But Dad's leave came to an end and he had to go back to the Marquette, dry dock and all. However, he was able to catch rides on Navy planes going south. Harry flies over the San Joaquin Valley. Landed in El Toro, he got a ride in a Marine helicopter that was taking a Marine colonel on an inspection tour of a battle at Camp Pendleton. They stopped on top of one of the mountains up near Case Springs as the colonel could watch, so the colonel could watch an airstrike. And reinforcements by helicopter that was part of the exercise. Leaving the grandstand mountaintop, they flew over Las Flores and that's the colonel off where his men were camped. Continuing on down US 101, the chopper took Dad onto Oceanside. You can see the amphibious ship, mostly LSTs, that had hauled the colonel and his troops. Flying over Camp Del Mar boat basin, you can see Oceanside Harbor beginning to take shape in the distance. The pilot asked Dad if this was close enough to his house and put him down on that white spot in the lower right. Looks like a couple of Dad's own heavies in the background. While he was at home, Dad made a visit to the Naval Training Center to watch the graduation parade. He was surprised to discover that sailors could march. Not seagoing sailors, he muttered. It was October 1963. The Marquette came back to San Diego and tied up for same old spot. We went out for Sunday church and dinner. This is David, Bill, and Mark in the officer's boat. And Mark tried not to rock the boat. David starts to step off the wrong side while Lee and Mother wait for the crew to make it fast to the accommodation ladder. After dinner, Dad showed us what he had been working on. He had made the sailing dinghy in the hobby shop in Alameda. So with some help from the crew, Bill and Ma prepared to shove off on their great adventure. And there they go. Over uncharted seas. Tacking neither to the left nor to the left. They head for Shelter Island, watched by all hands. Including Lee, who's watched by at least a single sailor. Kurt wasn't with us that day, but he got with us later, and he and Mother to lay a rustic tomb. Maybe it was the sideburns that kept him off the ship. That Christmas, we put up the Filipino star that Daddy got for me. Army Navy Club in the middle. And Jenny Huckleby came by for his annual picture. And Virginia posed outside and inside. And me and David posed with Mother and the family yacht. This is the dinghy for our dinghy. We watched some of the surfing meets held on Oceanside. And I take some pictures of Stokey surfers to show Mark. Those at church camp. Not much surf, but as we always say, surf far is sure good. Oh! Leaving you to choke on that pun, we take a trip to not. Berry Farm with Diddy, David, and Mark. David drives the Model T and navigates the drag strip successfully. They wouldn't leave on the highway, though. It has too many horsepower.
If this shot from the front yard of our home port looks symbolic, it was intended that way. Because I retired on the 1st of December, 1963. At first I thought I was going to retire and bask in the glow of the sunset of my long and illustrious naval career. I even had some ideas about spending a lot of time camping and bought a tent. But when I counted up my dependents, I decided I'd better go back to work. So after sizing up Oceanside Carlsbad Junior College, I decided I'd like to teach there, and so I went back to school to get my teaching credential and my master's. Mark played a concert in the junior college gym to soften them up, but we didn't get any pictures of San Diego State, where I was a graduate student. Kurt, realizing the awful condition the nation was in since I had retired from the Navy, joined the Air Force, and I was happy, or amused, maybe apprehensive, and I think Mother was proud. Billy Graham conducted a crusade in San Diego in June of 1964. We attended the meetings, which were held at Balboa Stadium. After summer school was over, we left on a camping trip, spending some wonderful days in Big Basin and other camps. Finally, we ended up at our favorite place, Patrick Point State Park. This is Agate Beach, our treasure trove. It's a long way down there, but worth every step. And David and I enjoyed exploring the wooded trails. One of the better views is this lookout rock that we climbed. And it looked out to sea like this. Then to check our calculations, we got a little bit closer to the shore. Beautiful, isn't it? Trinidad, near Patrick Point, was our idea of a real hideout. we fell in love with the little harbor there. We had to wrestle with our common sense here to keep from buying a little cottage or a lot or something.